The title of today's message is God's Faithful Servant. And first of all, I want to tell everybody a very Merry Christmas. Pastor Karen and I are going to leave next week to go back to see my dad and my family back in Illinois. I say our family because, you know, they call her daughter number two. It's cute. And he's 95. So we'll go back and see him. It's pretty cool. So we're excited about that. And I'm hoping for a white Christmas back in Illinois. I've missed that. And Christmas is my favorite time of the year because there is really a change in people. You know, I know there's a hustle and a bustle and a so forth, but you see a little more kindness in people at Christmas time. And I know it's been over-commercialized to a point, but I'm still impressed by the fact that children still sing Christmas songs and adults sing. And honestly, I hear as much, but in Illinois, they'll have the carolers walking through the mall singing these Christmas songs, not too many of the other kind, you know. The old-time Christmas carols that speak about God, that speak about Jesus, which is what it's all about. And that's pretty exciting to me. And, of course, December is the fun point of one of my favorite stories. I get to tell it tonight. I've got a lovely sister. I love this girl. We are really great friends as well as relatives, you know. But when you're 14, your sister's 17, sometimes sisters can be what sisters are. And it was October. And I'll never forget, she got to, well, how come you don't have to do dishes? I said, well, I mow the lawn, I rake the leaves. She goes, well, there's no leaves to be raked now. The lawn doesn't even be mowed now. How come I have to do dishes? You know, and this went on and on and on. So finally, I said, okay, fine. No problem. I'll do dishes. So from October through November till December 14th, I'll never forget the date. 45 years ago this week, the most beautiful 4.5-inch snowstorm I ever saw in my life came down. So I get up. Now, this is back in the days we had metal snow shovels, not these plastic things. And I at 5 o'clock in the morning walk into her room, say, bang, bang, bang. Okay, it's time to play. What do you mean? Well, if I got to do dishes, you got to shovel snow. What? Come on, let's go. So we're out there about 10 minutes. I says, am I done washing dishes? Yes, go on inside. I'll take care of this now. Okay. All right. July rolls around. I get up and just nonchalantly start washing dishes. Carlene goes, oh, that's so nice of you. Well, I don't mind helping out. Besides, Dad wants to paint the house next week. Get out, get out, get out right now. But it's always been fun, and I did do a lot of stuff to help her out around the house and stuff like that because, you know, we just grew up that way. We grew up in servanthood. And last year, when I spoke at this time, we discussed how Jesus was the gift. God gave his only begotten son. And we celebrate that at Christmas time. And I know the date's not quite correct and so forth, but the reason they picked the 25th was exactly 1 week before the new year. And they wanted to start off the new year with the new birth, and that's how they did that. They didn't want to start off after the new year with the birth. They start off before the birth, okay? So that's why that was done. But, you know, it says in Matthew 20:28, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Jesus came to serve. He was a servant to all. And sometimes we forget about that, that he came to serve, you know. And I look back through history, as everybody knows, I love history, and there's a great many people that were servants through the years, you know. And many people don't know about John Adams. Now, John Adams is kind of squished in between Washington the First and Jefferson the Third president because, you know, Jefferson wrote the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and Washington was the leader of the free army and so forth. And I don't even know much about John Adams, but he was quite the eloquent man. He was quite the servant. He was the second president. And after he was president, he humbled himself and went and served in the House of Representatives for 17 years. Because he wanted to serve. This country still had things for him to do. He didn't write in his Lord, well, I've been president. I can sit down and do nothing now. He didn't do that. He didn't build a library. You know? He did that. His mission was to end slavery. And every year that he was in Congress, he tried to pass a bill to abolish slavery. Now, he didn't get it done in his lifetime. He knew that. But he knew that he was going to try and do whatever he could do because he was not a quitter. He was a servant. And we don't know how many of those seeds he planted carried forth to the 1860s when they did abolish slavery. We don't know that if he wouldn't have done his job, maybe there wasn't enough people who cared about it because there wasn't enough public awareness. But he kept it in front of the public viewpoint. It's one of the few things that he and Thomas Jefferson both agreed upon. They both wanted to abolish slavery. I thought it was pretty interesting. John Adams read the Bible in four languages. English, French, German, I forget the fourth one. He thought the German was the best Bible. He thought it was the best translation. It had the most powerful meaning to him. Now, he didn't carry it around a little phone. He had four Bibles. He took them everywhere he went, you know, and he read them, and he journaled, and he wrote about this stuff. He was quite an important man, an impressive man. But the point is, he was a servant. Now, Karen and I are going back to Springfield, Illinois, and that's Abraham Lincoln's hometown. And I love the fact that I grew up there. I love the nostalgia, the history of Abraham Lincoln. I can argue with most people that he's probably the greatest leader that there ever was. Taking this nation from divided, seeing it through God, what he felt was God's eyes, what he wanted to be done, and to pull this nation back together after the Civil War. He signed his name, your humble servant, A. Lincoln. He considered himself a servant of the people. I think today's politicians need to look at some of these older politicians and see what they had to do. Now, I've got a friend at work, and he's very, very liberal, and I'm not. And we have friendly conversations, you know. And he said, well, you can't even think of one Democrat you'd vote for. I said, I can think of two. He goes, what? I said, well, first of all, I can vote for Harry Truman today. Because Harry was a man. Whatever he stood for, he said, he did, he had a sign on his desk that the buck stops here, and he took responsibility for every single thing he did. He didn't blame Roosevelt for anything. He took responsibility. And the first words he said after he was sworn in, he says, if you pray, pray for me now because I need it. He was a humble man. He was a class man, but he was a servant of the people. The one I vote for is John Kennedy. Now, I know John had his problem with his affairs and things like that, but basically, John was a good man. When you look at what happened to him on the PT boat, the PT-109 that was hit by the Japanese in the Solomons over there, he saved 11 of 13 men through courage, through his dedication, through his leadership. Now, I've often said this, and some of you military guys can verify this or not, I don't believe there's any atheists in wartime. And I believe John was a godly man. I believe that God helped him. When you look at some of the decisions he made, I think he had to be hearing from the Holy Spirit, even if he didn't acknowledge that that's where it was coming from. He gets into office, he cuts taxes to bolster the economy. He had to stare Khrushchev down during the Cuban Missile Crisis of October. This was a man that knew the challenges that he faced. Oh, going back to Harry Truman, he took care of the Berlin airlift. That took courage. That could have started another world war. But you know, those people needed food. And he flew planes over there to drop food over there that were unarmed and they didn't have escorts, knowing they could have been shot down. But he did what he knew how to do, and he did what was right to save those people. And he told tyranny he wasn't going to stand for it. And I like those kind of men. But they were all servants. They were all servants. Now, things are changing here at the church, and they're good things. I believe most people come to this church and listen online because there's special revelation that comes here. I believe the servitude of these two people here is unmatched. I mean, look at what they've done for the years that they put this church together. Giving up their home, giving up their finances, walking away from huge economic opportunities. But they're servants. Because they do what God tells them to do. Always. Now, Pastor Joshua has told people for years that the Lord's been trying to get him to pray 8 hours a day. Now, for those of you who work 8 hours a day, know once you start doing something like that, it's tough to get much else done. Would you agree with me on that? Okay. Well, he has stepped up to the plate and finally done it. With all the revelation he's already gotten, I believe everything he's going to get now is going to grow exponentially. Would you agree with me on that? Does that make sense? Okay. All right. Now, we need this information going to the end times. There is no doubt in my mind that nobody here is ready for the end times yet. We're getting there. Don't misunderstand me. That's why we're here. But we're not ready yet. Okay. Whatever's coming down the pike, we need. And we need to hear it through the man of God. He's going to be praying 8 hours a day to make sure he receives from that. And in doing so, that means he can't do some of the things he was doing before. And that means the staff has to pick up more of that kind of work. And we don't mind. We're great. Staff, we love doing what we do. Many of you don't know this, but we meet almost every Wednesday night to plan out what's happening in the future, to work out for the services what's coming up, to work out for the next School of Dominion what's coming up, to prepare for the computer issues and challenges, get ready to get this thing online. There's a lot of work that goes into this ministry that's not just here at the services. At the same time, we all get together, we all try to do everything to get it done. We need help. And we're in an army. You military guys can attest that. Even if you volunteer for the army, once you're in the army, you're in the army. And we can't get it all done if we're going to go to the levels that we need to go to. So we're going to ask everybody in the church, I mean everybody, what they can do to start helping out. There are a lot of things that need to be done. Penny is back there on that computer 2 days a week, every single day. Okay? It's not that hard. Can we get 10 or 12 people, train them how to do it? We can rotate it in and out. That way she can spend more time in praise and worship. Deborah does the live streaming continuously. Okay? Same thing there. Now, I'm asking people to step up once every couple months and do something. It's not going to be a big burden. And we're going to be training people properly. And if it goes wrong like my thing did today, we're going to laugh about it, make improvements, and go on the next time. It's no big deal. But I'm expecting everybody to say, I can do something. Because you know what? We're in this together. And I make a lot of comments about France, who wasn't ready for World War II. They thought that the old World War I line would defend them. And it didn't. But this is a unique group. We are going to be ready for what's coming down. Now, if you're online and you're here for School of Dominion and you're not a regular member of the church, on those Saturdays, we can get some help too. I'm going to ask everybody. Now, Pastor Karen and I are going to start taking names from people, talking to you. We're going to decide what we can recommend that you do. We're going to put a list together of everything. And it's not going to be a lot of overdone work. You're not going to be too much work. But it's going to spread the work out amongst everybody so that people aren't burnt out. I'm tired of the 80-20 rule where 20% of people do 80% of the work. Everybody who receives the benefits of this church needs to put in a little bit more here and there. Now, Pastor Fred's offered to help out in several areas. I know we got some people cleaning dishes and things like that. There's going to be cleaning up chairs. And it's a lot of menial stuff. We're going to have some fun doing it, though, too. Now, Pastor Karen and I ran an international ministry. We had over 50 volunteers down there. We ran healing rooms. We had 50 volunteers there also. And we got the work done. And a lot of blessings came because of it. And I believe that as we tithe our money, we give offerings into the kingdom, our work is also blessed back by God. Does that make sense? Now, there is no such thing as a small job. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 12:12, every part of the body is important, okay? And that talks to every one of us. Now, many of you know I used to own restaurants, right? Some of you have heard this. For those of you who didn't, I'm going to have some fun here. What is the most important employee in a restaurant? Is it the cook? Is it the greeter, the wait staff? There's one person that shines. Is it the owner? There's one person that shines above everybody, okay? It's the person that cleans the woman's bathroom. Look, women are all laughing. Guys going, huh? We're going, yeah, you know? I'm going to tell you what. I got good the food is, I got the service. If that bathroom is dirty, most women are not going back to that restaurant ever again. And if most women are not going, the guys aren't going there with them either because they ain't, you know? So I learned that very early on. Okay? The little things count a lot. There's gonna be a lot of things done to get this place where we need to do. We're expecting to grow here some, and we're kind of squished in, so some things need to be arranged here. Chairs need to be put up, tables need to be put up, things like that, little things. But we're gonna start putting together teams. We can get it done, get out here quickly. With all due respect, you know, Gwen's here sometimes till 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, finishing up the kitchen. Okay. Now, if I get three or four people to help her that are trained, we can get her out of here at a reasonable time. Okay? And I just don't think that's too much to ask. And I know that every one of us wants to be a servant. Everyone's supposed to be like Jesus, who came to serve. And I know we talk about the famous people that serve and things like that. But you know what? My dad was a radio man for General MacArthur. He was as close to MacArthur as I am to Pastor Joshua right now a lot of times. If he didn't do his job, MacArthur could communicate with his troops. How important was that? If we do our jobs, taking the pressure off of the pastorate here, holding their arms up like Aaron and Hur did for Moses, okay, and let him do what he needs to do, we will sail through the end times. I'm not saying there's not going to be challenges, but you know, when you know what to do because you've got the revelation knowledge, you're going to go through it pretty well. Does that make sense? You know, it talks in Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the servants. And I like that one a lot. And it starts in verse 15. And he gave one to one, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1 talent, according to his own ability. And it went on a journey. So everybody here has some talents. God has given us all something. Okay? Maybe y'all can't be speakers. Maybe y'all have different talents. But that's why God put us together, because we're all going to make a team here. I like the analogy of the person that's doing the orchestra. He's a conductor. He can't play the tubas. He can't play the violin. He can't play the drums. He's got to be the orchestra leader. We all have our parts. And he who had received 5 talents went and traded them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, who received 2 gained 2 more also. But who received 1 went out and dug it in the ground and hid the Lord's money. Now, if God's giving you a talent, do you want to bury it in the ground? Or do you want to use it? I think we all want to use it. Okay? So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. The Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You who are faithful over a few things, I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. We do this in joy. You know, if the bathrooms need cleaning, we do it in joy. And I used to tell people in my restaurants, I said, you know what? I'm not asking you to do anything I haven't done myself. I had one guy, now I had a policy. We never hired anybody from day one of any of my businesses. I says, now there's one thing we have to understand. There's no such thing as that's not my job. It doesn't happen here. And one guy said, it's not my job. I said, yes, it is. I can prove it to you. I pulled out a piece of paper, signed on the back. There's no such thing as that's not my job. Because it all's got to be done. You know, taking the garbage out has to be done. You know, are they menial? Perhaps. But just have some fun and get some things done. Laugh and joke. You know, I'm blessed that I come from a big Italian family. And everything needed to be done, we all pitched in and started cracking jokes all the time. You know, I remember one time, my parents had an Italian deli. We had about 15 freezers filled with all kinds of Italian goodies and meats and capicolas and fontanellas and all kinds of cheeses and things like that and raviolis and lasagnas, the homemade stuff, you know, just, it was wonderful. And the basement flooded. And the freezers were in danger. So we called up some people. They came over. We started bailing out water, laughing and joking all around, you know. Finally, one guy says he had a sump pump. We got a sump pump. But we laughed until we got things under control. We got the freezers up on blocks and everything was safe. But the bottom line is, we made fun of it all. It wasn't grudging because we had a good time. When Pastor Eric and I had the healings, we had a good time doing things. Now, we're not going to do what we did at the healings. The healings, when the time was closed, we'd lock the doors. Nobody was allowed to leave until everything was done. That was our rules, man. We can't leave things up. But I believe that everybody here, when it comes time to meet Jesus, with them say, well done, good and faithful servant. And I think part of that is whatever you can do here at the church to help. I know everybody's got time restrictions. I know everybody's busy. This is California. This is the busiest place I've ever seen in my life. But you know what? We can do it. Because we do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Would you agree with me on that? We're going to put together some teamwork, some fun work. It's not going to be overburdened. And if we get everybody involved, many hands make the work light. The other thing that comes out of this is more unity, too. When we're all working together, you form more of a bond. And when the end times come, that unity is going to help carry us through, too. You know, united we stand, divided we fall. A house divided against itself cannot stand. So after we come back in January, the team is going to sit down and discuss how what all needs to be done. And then we're going to start talking to every single person and ask how you can help. And we'll find something for everybody to do to break up the workload, to break up the burden. Is that fair enough for everybody? Would y'all agree with me on that? Okay. I know there's a lot of people are not here. I will talk to them, or Karen will talk to them, or we have to do this again when there's more people here. But if we start showing them that we're all working together, it just kind of synergies. Kind of goes along, okay? So on that note, I would like to end in prayer. Just say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise and glorify you. I thank you for all you've done for us. I thank you for this time of Christmas where the people can actually receive the joy of your Son coming into the world. You know, without the birth, there could be no death. But you gave us your Son, and we receive that now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for that gift and for this time now. And I thank you that everybody here is going to start giving themselves into this church to help make the work lighter for all of us. And by the way, some work may not even be here. It may be you need help doing some filing something, or maybe any number of different things that we decide to do. But it all helps. And whatever we can get everybody to do together just lightens the burden up for everybody. Because you know what? The staff wants to spend more time in prayer, too. And I know I got off my prayer part to go back into speaking a little bit, but there are many reasons why we do this. But Lord, I thank you for the people that are going to come help. I thank you for the growth of this church, not only in the numbers of people, but the growth in the relationship with you and the revelation that you're going to give us to help us get on to the end times. Lord, we know that Jesus is coming soon. And we know that this church is one of the few places on earth that is going to be ready for him to come. But we thank you that you've chosen us. And we all ask that when we see you, Lord, you can say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done, my good and faithful servant. By the way, the very last line of that verse is, enter into the joy of your Lord. So as we do this, Lord, we will enter into your joy. In Jesus' name. Oh, by the way, Pastor Joshua did not know what I was going to talk about tonight. Just to let you know that.
Actually, I'm very pleased that he did this. And I want to bring to your attention that in the book of Acts, chapter 6, an exact situation, similar situation arose, where the leaders didn't have enough time to spend with the Lord and in prayer, so they decided to select a number of people that they needed. And so they selected 7 people to work full-time to do this, taking care of all the business aspects of the church, 7 deacons to work full-time to do the aspects of the church. And one of those was Stephen, one of the greatest of the people in the early church. So, I think it's a wonderful thing, and I'm very glad you did say that. And I hope many of the people who are not here tonight, I hope they are streaming with us and that they did hear it. Yeah, so thank you very much.